Okay. Will you pray with me for a moment? Lord, I ask that you use your words right through my mouth and open my ears and my heart and the hearts and ears of those in the room to hear your word. In your son's most precious name, amen. Okay, so as many of you know, this series is Small But Mighty, and it's all about kids. So to kind of kick us off, one of the stories that we Americans love to hear is about the entrepreneur who went into his basement and crafted something and poof, becomes a millionaire, right? However, one thing that we know is nobody becomes a millionaire by themselves, right? They have people that speak into them, people that maybe give them money, people that encourage them. And while I'm not a millionaire or a billionaire, I don't know, I think that's true for all of us. We've all had people that have spoken into our lives and into us. And think of, like, just take a moment to think of at least one person who's spoken into your life. Pretty powerful, huh? So this morning, we're going to take a look behind the scenes at someone who was great and see how we got there. This is the Old Testament king, Josiah. I don't know. I confess, I didn't know much about Josiah before I was studying him for this message. I knew that there was a Josiah, but there were so many Old Testament kings in those days. After King David, after his son King Solomon took over, Israel broke into two separate parts. There was Israel in the north and Judah in the south. And they both had different rulers all the time. All of Israel's rulers were bad. Judah had some good rulers, some rulers who followed God, but they definitely were not all good. And this week, we're going to focus on Josiah. We're going to think about, as we're going through this, how to have childlike faith like Josiah had. Not childish faith, but childlike faith. So let's take a moment to think about when we were younger. So imagine when you were knee-high to a grasshopper. What did you want to be when you grew up? When I graduated high school, I wanted to be a lawyer, right? I took classes to become a legal secretary as like a stepping stone, but then, nah. Then I wanted to be in international business, right? Ooh, yeah. And then I wanted to be a trade show and event planner. And then I worked at church for a few years as a Christian ed director. But while I was working for church, I went to see a counselor who was a Christian counselor, and wow, he changed my life. After seeing him for about a year, I heard this little voice going, Kathy, you want to help other people the way he helped you? And I said, no. No. I didn't even have a bachelor's degree. So, yeah, that was like my early 30s, and now I am here practicing as a counselor out of a church and standing up here in front of you all. You never know what God has planned. So as Josiah, when he was 8, that was when he became king. So as we're thinking of being 8 years old, think of like, I don't know, I was thinking this morning, like when I was 8, I was in third grade and they were teaching me how to brush my teeth, right? So Josiah, when I was learning to brush my teeth, he was a king. It's kind of hard to imagine. So in the Old Testament times, there were many kings, good and bad, God-following and corrupt, and they loved to worship idols. What's an idol? An idol can be anything, anything that takes us away from focusing on God. An idol could be the internet. It could be money, it could be alcohol, drugs, gaming, sorry, but only when, only they become idols when they take our focus away from God. Notice they're not bad in and of themselves, they're only bad when they take our focus away from God. So before Josias became king, the people of Judah had forgotten about God. They were just living an idolatrous life, doing whatever they wanted to do. But after Josiah became king, it was different. He was different. He had a hearing heart. He was open to hearing from other people. He opened his heart to God. He opened his ears to hear and his heart to hear. And many of the kings before him had hard hearts. They didn't listen. They did what powerful kings wanted to do, right? They were all about themselves. But Josiah's grandpa was a king named Manasseh. And Manasseh was a bad king. The Bible says that the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, and they paid no attention. Kind of reminds me when God first said, Kathy, you want to help people? And I said, nah. But I turned and listened. But Manasseh didn't. He had a hard heart. And then Manasseh ignored God, and then Josiah's father, Amon, became king, and he was a bad one too. He also led people in a bad direction. The Bible says that Amon worshipped all the idols his father Manasseh had made, and he did not humble himself before the Lord. He didn't need God. He had himself, right? Another hard heart. But then, when Josiah became king, at only age 8, when that happened, the Bible says that Josiah, he did right what was in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the way of his ancestor David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. He was following the path. Finally, a warm and hearing heart. And that verse talks about King David, and King David was 13 generations before Josiah. So King Josiah is definitely an ancestor, but like 13 generations. And so thinking of King David, what kind of a heart did he have? A warm heart or a hard heart? He actually had both, right? He was after God's own heart, right? And he made some pretty bad choices. So I don't know. I think that all of us can have warm heart and hardened hearts, right? Kind of the way that we are. But kind of the cool part is, like when I said, nah, I'm not going to do that, we all can choose. When we hear that little God voice, the Holy Spirit voice in the back of our head, we can all choose to turn our hearts and to start listening to God, to asking for forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. Pray to listen for the Holy Spirit's guidance. I don't know. I think that the Holy Spirit, to me, speaks in that little voice in the back of my head that lines up with what I believe God wants for his people. So back to Josiah. So he had some warm-hearted people in his life who loved God and helped him to have a warm heart. Josiah heard what God had to say in the Bible, which the bad kings didn't really care about. So as he grew up, he lived out the things he'd heard with his heart and showed all the people of Judah what it meant to follow and love God. He treated people with kindness. He got rid of the places where the idols were set up, and he worked on fixing the temple of God. He really worked to bring his people back to God. So we can all learn something from King Josiah. Pay attention to what's happening in our hearts. Are we listening and learning from other people? You know, are we listening to young people, to people older than us, to our peers, to other people who are following God? And it says, God helps us grow when we're willing to learn from others. Really being willing, right? I know when I meet someone and I think, oh, I'm going to tell them everything, right? Because I'm the counselor, right? When I walk into that room with that attitude, nobody learns anything, right? When I walk into the room with a warm heart and I'm willing to learn from them as they learn from me, that's when the magic happens, the miracles happen. So back to Josiah. The story is located in the Bible in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, But today, we're focused mostly on the Second Chronicles telling. And remember, these small but mighty messages were written with children in mind. There are these cool little trading cards. And this week's trading card is Josiah the Learner. I don't know, can you believe that they made these at Cornerstone? Like, somebody told me, wow, we thought you guys paid somebody thousands of dollars to create them. And I'm like, no, it's just an amazing design team. Okay, sorry. So the verse on the card is from 2 Kings 22:2, and it says, Josiah, interesting, this is not the verse that was given to Pete. This is not Pete's fault. This is, yeah. It says, Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father, not turning aside from right to left. Interesting, that was the verse from earlier. But up there, from 2 Chronicles 34:3, in the 8th year of his reigns, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. In his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. Now, remember that David was not truly the immediate father. That was like 13 kings ago. But the author wants us to hear that Josiah is a king like King David. Like, what a compliment, right? And Asherah poles, they were idols. They were objects of worship from the goddess of Asherah, who was the goddess of fertility and motherhood. Yeah. So at 16, then, Josiah is seeking out God. He gets a little older, a little wiser, and he's taking steps of faithfulness. He starts tearing down all these places of idol worship. But then, when you look back at his ancestry again, so we know his dad and his granddad were bad kings, but his great-grandfather was a good king. The other two did some pretty bad things. So sometimes we think when our parents or our grandparents didn't follow God, made some choices that were pretty hard-hearted, that were doomed. Josiah is living proof, right? He was a king, an 8-year-old king. Now, and he opened his heart and was warm and worked every day to do what God wanted him to do. And so that tells me that even us in this 21st century, just because our ancestors struggled doesn't mean that we're going to go down that same path. We can change. So back to Josiah's warm and hearing heart. What made him? What else was going on? So remember, no one becomes good all on their own. One of the major differences between Josiah and the previous kings was that Josiah had faithful adults in his story, and it's very likely they played a significant role in his story. So it says, a faithful adult speaking into your life can transform your circumstances, right? Faithful adult speaking into your life. When we think about learning from others, mentors are another word for this. There's an organization called Kids Hope. It's an amazing organization. A couple of decades ago, got to be a part of it, and you work with one child 1 hour a week, and you just meet with them at school. It's so, to meet with this little person, I can still see her face. Such an honor to mentor this little girl. But I don't think this church works with Kids Hope, but I looked, in Boys and Girls Clubs of West Michigan, is open and accepts new volunteers. So if you want to mentor someone, I encourage you to look for ways to pour into kids. Or if you're interested in what you can do here, when Pastor Steve gets back next week, ask him. I'm sure he will have opportunities. He loves kids. So, and speaking of being mentored, about 2.5 decades ago, / when Aaron was born, I was born mentored by two amazing women. They mentored me in being a mother and in my faith. I am who I am today in part because of how they poured into me. I actually sent them a Facebook message and told them I was going to say that, and you know what they said to me? They're such loving people. They said, you taught us more than we taught you. And that's how it works, right? So as Josiah's story continues, think about who mentored you, who you might ask to mentor you today and in the future, and who God might be asking you to mentor. Josiah was born into a time where there was so much faithlessness and idol worship that Judah couldn't have known about God unless someone told him. It's doubtful that he would have been a good king without adults, and he surely didn't listen to his dad or his grandpa, right? Because this would have been quite a different story. Instead, he had some mentors. So the person that likely would have been was Shaphan, the royal secretary. We don't know much about Shaphan except that his sons and grandsons pop up other areas at times in the story of Israel in brief but significant ways. They were faithful to God. So Josiah sends Shaphan and some others out to start repairing the temple of the Lord, which had been neglected so long that it needed some major restoration. So as he goes out, he meets another faithful adult, Hilkiah. Hilkiah, the high priest. Now, you'd think a high priest, the man's going to be a follower of God, right? In those times, not so, right? Most of the priests were followers of Josiah's dad and granddad, right? But this particular priest was a follower of God. So Hilkiah was faithful, and Hilkiah discovered what they called the Book of the Law and gave it to Shaphan, who brought it to King Josiah. "Hey, the high priest gave me a book," Josiah says, and he begins to read it to Josiah. Imagine that. Someone finds this like dusty old scroll and says, "Here, here, here." And you start reading it and listening to it. And it turns out to be the law they've given up. They have forgotten about the covenant that they made with God. Ugh. So scholars think that this book of law, the law, was either Deuteronomy or Leviticus. And for the first time hearing the words read to him, Josiah understands how far the people strayed from God. He didn't just grieve. He immediately sends Shaphan, Hilkiah, and some others to see the prophetess Huldah. And now, prophets in those times, that was a dangerous and possibly deadly work. The kings, they would speak, the kings didn't listen, but God kept sending prophets. And Jeremiah was a prophet around the same time, calling for repentance. You've heard of him in Jeremiah, and he wrote, "For 23 years from the 13th year of Josiah, son of Amon, the king of Judah, until this very day, the word of the Lord has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And though the Lord has sent all his servants, the prophets, to you again and again, you have not listened or paid attention." Hard hearts, right? Huldah, a prophetess like Jeremiah, who hears from God and proclaims it. Josiah sends Hilkiah, Shaphan, and the others to ask Huldah about this book of the law. What is this book of the law? Since the people have been so unfaithful and have been actively sinning against God, what's going to happen? And Huldah has a lot to say about this. And the Bible says, "Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before God when he spoke against this place and its people, and because you humbled yourself before me and you were so grieved that you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord." God saw Josiah's faithfulness and his warm and hearing heart. But Huldah tells him that many generations of wickedness and so much evil in the land has been too long, the consequences can't be stopped. So, as a mercy, this is a weird mercy, Josiah was spared from having to see the consequences happen and was promised to die before then. Not great news, right? A lesser king might have rejected what she said and looked for a second opinion or taken an early retirement. But Josiah keeps doing all he can to bring the people to God. He gathers all the people together to read from Scripture, and we're told The king stood by his pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commands, statutes, and decrees with all his heart and all his soul, and to obey the words of the covenant written in this book. What he is modeling for the people of Judah and for us is so significant. Josiah's warm and hearing heart has absorbed scripture coming out of his heart and into word and action. It sounds like he's echoing one of the most famous bits from Deuteronomy, according to the Bible, which says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." Notice, the law was never meant just to be an external practice of rules. The heart is mentioned twice, and talking through these things with kids is supposed to be part of it. We don't just obey because God said so. We talk about them. What do they mean? How do they change our lives? So Josiah, he tears down the shrines to idols, just really trying to weed out all of the idolatry going on. And there are ways, his ways, people were continuing to sin, right? Their old ways of comfort, old idols, things they've been doing for generations. Maybe there are things we've been doing for generations that we could have a warmer heart and give up to recommit to God. You know, what kind of things do we do to seek comfort and convenience? So Josiah, at this point, he has the huge, epic Passover feast. They prepared lambs, made offerings, had worship music again. Imagine not having the beautiful music every week. Whew. In many ways, Josiah's story is all about how crucial it is to speak into lives of children, not just our own lives, but any children. Ultimately, Josiah becomes an adult who shows us that we need to cultivate hearing hearts in ourselves too. As we leave the Small But Mighty series, I think one of the most significant ways we can learn from children and stay childlike in our faith is to keep our hearts receptive and responses, to keep our hearing hearts. All through the Bible, we see variations of the phrase, "their hearts were hardened." Nothing good comes after that, right? Their hearts were hardened. Nothing good. So, there are ways for our hearts to harden. How can we tell that our hearts are hardened? Maybe we're cynical, right? Maybe we're more selfish than we used to be. Maybe we're convinced I'm right, everyone else is wrong. Maybe I'm only looking out for number one. Number one not being God, but me, right? Maybe we're letting reason and fear override our love. Or maybe we're convinced it's foolish to trust God. So I wonder what this means and what this looks like in our daily lives. What is it that we could change to warm our hearts, to let our hearts be a little more hearing? So Jesus said it this way. He was quoting from Isaiah. "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes." Jesus said we might see with our eyes, hear with our ears, and understand with our hearts, and turn towards Christ so we can be healed. So, as Huldah said, back to Josiah, he was killed at 39. And people were exiled and sent to Babylon. It's pretty hard. Josiah, his story is like the prequel to Daniel from a month ago, back in June, when we were talking about Daniel. Josiah's work prepared us for Daniel, right? Daniel was a little boy, so Josiah spoke into Daniel and brought us Daniel. Josiah's faithfulness and efforts, his work to turn people away from idols and back to God, did bear fruit. He didn't see the fruit. He didn't know what Daniel was going to be, but it did bear fruit. So we don't know what seeds we're planting in the younger generations. That's not in our control, right? When I saw Erin up there singing in youth group, I had no idea that she was going to pour in to my boys, right? We don't know where the fruit is. Erin surely had no idea. But she was pouring into us, this little teenage girl singing in a choir. So we might not see the fruit, but we're called to plant the seeds. The story of Josiah shows us the importance of speaking the love and heart of God into kids. Whether you're a parent or not, there are kids around. So wrapping up the series, the boy with the loaves of fish, little Miriam, young Samuel, and King Josiah have all taught us to keep our hearts from growing hard, calloused, and fossilized, and to seek out mentors and to work to cultivate hearing hearts that listen to God and the people he speaks through. Thank you, Josiah. Thank you all.